This is The Financial Coconut, Singapore's first personal finance podcast network. And I'm Timothy Mazier, Editor-in-Chief of Blockhead. Join me and the crew on our weekly Friday segment as we filter out the noise in the crypto space and keep you updated on the ideas that actually matter. This is Blockcast.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Okay, welcome back to another episode of Blockcast. I'm your host, Reggie, aka your Chief Financial Coconut.
And this is Tim, Managing Director, Managing Editor.
Guy has taken one step above.
I am, and this is Mark. I'm the CEO of Blockhead.
You see, Mark say okay, but he override you. He never even let you complete your introduction.
Come at you live from Anxiang.
So yes, Tim and Mark, the regulars on the show. I think down the road we're gonna have some guests, right? And that's the idea for our listeners. So yeah, if you have any guests in particular that you would love us to talk to, you know, any crypto villain that you want us to talk to, you know, and drop it in the comment section. I don't know where's the comment section on podcast, you know, but yes, actually you should just either email us or let us know. Yeah, go on Blockhead, talk to them. Oh yeah, we need a Reddit lah, right? We need a Reddit.
This is like the third week in a row we're talking about Reddit. Yeah, okay, let's get it done.
We need a Reddit. We need a Reddit for this. So yeah, we are back. Another great week in the crypto space for investors. So, or traders, or degens, or whatever you want to call it. So yeah, tell us. How has your week been actually for both of you?
It was actually Mark's birthday yesterday, so maybe he should talk.
Oh.
some reflections on
turning a year older.
Yeah, well, yeah. I've got the body of a 50-year-old and the mind of an 18-year-old. That's my reflection.
Yeah. And you have a 3-year-old at home or something.
And I have a 1-year-old at home.
A 1-year-old at home. Okay. Yeah. So busy period. But things. Yeah. Wait. Just for a curious side question. Are you getting like more site traffic because the market is better?
Yes, actually.
Really? There's correlation in content consumption and the performance of the market, huh?
I don't know, because, you know, Blockhead is generally, you know, it's still in growth mode. So like, you know, we're seeing audience jumps. I don't know whether it's, you know, really related to the state of the market. Mm.
But generally, we noticed that, well, we're not really like markets focused. Like our articles that touch on markets have very good traction when things are looking up. I guess people just want to know, is it time to throw my money at the space? Yeah, what should I buy? Things like that. But
all you need is a cigarette and a blindfold. That's how you trade investing crypto.
Oh my goodness. That's not my house view. I need to call that. That's not my house view. Okay.
But once it's up like so much, as we've seen like the past 2 weeks, you know, like the ship has kind of sailed. At least in the short term.
Yeah. Okay. Fair. Interesting. So yeah, let's continue. Do check out their site, you know, as you learn more about these things. So yeah, Tim, bring us through the very first story.
Yeah. So that leads it pretty well to the first topic of discussion. Like we wanted to talk about the new L2 on Ethereum, Shibarium. So it's launched by the Shiba coin, the meme coin. We talked about meme coins last week. This is a new development that has pushed SHIB up 30% over the past week. You know, it's a Dogecoin spinoff, but it's still a meme coin because it didn't, at least until now, have much utility or application. It also has a huge circulating supply. So, you know, I don't think you should look to it for, you know, to 10x anytime soon.
No, but didn't it already 10x? Or didn't it really like 5x or something?
No, I mean, the recent pump was only like 30%. So it's still like 0.00, I think like 5.01. But okay, you know, you think, wow, okay,
I cannot.
$1 I can buy 100,000, but you know what? The supply is 550 trillion. So, you know, don't get caught again like a lot of people did with Doge. I mean, the point is right now, the community is trying to create some actual utility within the ecosystem.
Yeah, that's the interesting part.
Yeah.
That's the interesting part. Yes.
So what they're doing is this L2 Shibarium is expected to, you know, same thing, minimize transaction fees, increase, you know, its processing power. But what the network is being optimized for, I'm still not clear.
I mean, like, you know, I quote here, like, you know, the developers mentioned that the goal of the new update in its infrastructure is to revolutionize the Shiba ecosystem, first and foremost. By removing barriers to entry for small transactions, okay, can jive with that. Upgrading the speed, allowing the development of decentralized applications and integrating non-fungible tokens. So basically, it's just, you know, like, I mean, just to cut a long story short here, it's just supposed to improve the scalability.
Yeah. And you know what I call that, right? I call a keyword mashup, right? That's like... That's
confirm like ChatGPT wrote that shit, man.
Confirm ChatGPT wrote that shit. Like it's like me going to like my investors and saying, oh, I would love to raise so that I can have an all-inclusive media that's like sustainable for the long term. It continues to develop. We've got a quality value that can churn great profits. It's like, what are you trying to do?
Yeah, I mean, you read the announcement, it actually looks very good. And, you know, all the applications that they cite and all that, it all sounds good. But, you know, if you are a AAA game developer, are you going to say, like, okay, we're going to deploy on ship?
No, that is really the big question now.
I don't know. Wait, okay. So actually, can I get a bit of color around, like, why these meme coins are around, or why are they actually getting this kind of pump? And, like, yeah, I mean, if there's this kind of pump, that means people are putting money in, right?
Correct.
Right, so then, like, why, or like, what's happening here, and what our listeners should think a little bit about, because you already say it's a Dogecoin spin-off, right? And honestly, I've seen my friends own Dogecoin and like Shiba, and I'm like, what the hell are you guys doing? But I say, make me money, you know what I mean? So that's the dissonance, right? So any thoughts around there?
No, I mean, like, you know, I think that people are just remembering what happened during the bull run last year, a year before that, when you were, you know, people essentially gaining financial freedom from, like, you know, investing in these meme coins early. Yeah, and I don't really think people are really thinking about utility here. It's more like, you know, look, like, this happened with like ship, like, you know, like a couple of years ago, it could happen again with Shibarium. So, like, you know, let's try and get in early.
Yeah, it's a spray and pray, like, you know, with all the large cap meme coins right now. You know, it's just a rally in the wider crypto markets, so that obviously spills over to all this nonsense.
I mean, we personally have met like three people in Singapore who have actually retired on SHIB.
Nice. Oh wow, interesting.
Yeah, like really legit credible guys, you know. So it's not like
wait, were they credible before they SHIB?
Yeah,
or
yeah.
Did they become credible after they SHIB?
No, before, and then okay. Yeah, good is well-paying government job.
Yeah, so, you know, this has actually happened. So I think that people are just looking to this as another way out. Yeah.
Wow, that was so loaded emotionally. If this was another show, I would have dug deeper into that. Like, people are just looking for another way out. Wow, that was like, wow, so loaded. I love it. Right, but this is a different show, right? We're not going there. Come on, chills. We can have that discussion. But yeah.
We should ask him if he wants to be a guest on the show.
Yeah, that's a great idea, man. We should do an episode on people who've retired on SHIB. Yeah.
I mean, as much as we sound a little bit like, you want to act like objective, so like must have utility, must have all this, must have all that. But there are many people that trade things and they come on the other side, right? You can say it's luck. You can say, you know, they know what they're doing. But it's always an interesting story to kind of think a little bit about.
I mean, it's also timing, you know. Once you see the news everywhere, it is too late.
Yeah, people already positioned ahead of you. You are the bag, right? So great lah. So in other words, we spent 10 minutes saying that it's not important, don't bother.
No, I mean, but that is still important to discuss, because this is like in all over crypto media, and people are thinking like, oh, you know, could this be something, you know, that I should get into? But I don't know, like, whether it's a worthwhile investment, probably not lah, but not making any.
I don't think it's worthwhile getting into a discussion on the utility of this particular token.
That says a lot for Mark to say that says a lot. Is it really no use at this
thing? Aside from, like, you know, like what I've quoted from, like, you know, like various websites, right? I mean, I think it's clear that they have to offer something differentiated from the OG token, right? Yeah, so obviously then it becomes like utility as a way to kind of market it.
Yeah, so that could be your strategy. Look for tokens or meme coins which have nothing, and then wait 1 or 2 years, and then hopefully they build something. Then you just...
That's not my house view either. That's not my house view. I must call out. That one not house view. Right? It's Timothy sudden has this like revolution.
Have I told you guys how much I find Shiba Inus actually very annoying dogs? I love
you
dogs,
mean
by the way.
The dog itself, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. We don't go there. Last week, I think you recorded that. Our post producer cut it out.
Okay. So, oh yeah, right.
This week can keep. Like, just to let people know. Yeah, just to let people know we cut it out. Right. So yeah. Okay, so yeah, that's the first story. I think the whole idea is this thing is all over the crypto media space, so we just want to put out our viewpoint, lah, right? It's not everything about utility. You know, some people have made a killing out of these kind of rallies, but is it really for you? You know, are you already priced out, right? Because other people are already in, right? So are you the bag? I think that's the question. And so this brings me to the second story, right? So second story, interesting. Ukrainian deputy prime minister said he will take salary in CBDC. Wow, right? So that is a bold move, and this comes from Davos, right? So we have some crypto lessons that we have from Davos, right? And the crypto industry finally is back, right? Of course, for all of you that don't know, essentially Davos is in Switzerland, and when people say Davos, right, what they really mean is the World Economic Forum, lah. Right, but it's not as exciting. I mean, last year they did a World Economic Forum elsewhere. Wait, they did elsewhere, or they did in Singapore? Or they wanted to do it in Singapore, then they cancelled it.
Then it was postponed twice.
I remember because I was planning some content stuff and then postponed. I was like, huh? Oh, I wasted my time. Okay, anyway, but yeah, so it was the first time that they ever entertained the idea of hosting it out of Europe.
I think that was 2021.
2021.
Yeah, 2022, okay. It was still in, it went back to Davos.
Okay, cool.
Well, I mean, like, before we get into a discussion of CBDCs, right, like, one thing that's really hanging over this whole Davos forum, right, is that, you know, the whole premise of the World Economic Forum, right, is just built on globalization, you know, and we are really entering into a period of time, right, where the idea of globalization, right, really is in peril. You know, you see, like, the world being divided into clear factions. You know, Western businesses, you know, like trying to be less dependent on like China with what's happening in Ukraine and Russia. And also like you see like, you know, Brexit over the past, like, you know, like what's happened over the past few years. So it feels as if like, you know, like the focus for Davos might be changing, or like, you know, at least like, you know, you see like the delegates that are going down, right? I mean, there are obviously no Russian people there.
There have been no Russian people in many, many...
Correct.
They kicked out of G7. It used to be G8. You know, there's a lot of things.
Russians are still all over the slopes of Davos.
Control yourself. Control yourself. We're not going there.
So anyway, then moving to the conversation of CBDCs, right? I mean, it's quite interesting to see like how the different countries are just really like looking or at adopting something like this, be it at their own pace or like as aggressively as Ukraine. Yeah.
No, like, I think Ukraine got no choice. They've been bombarded to wit's end, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like their infrastructure is probably a shit show. You know, they need to use other ways, right? So yeah, similar to what's the country that used Bitcoin as legal tender?
El Salvador.
It's also the same shit show situation, right? And I'm not saying like shit show in the sense that, oh, they are badly managed, blah, blah, blah. A lot of them, right, have gotten through some really hard times, right? So Ukraine is just one of the many, right? But in this Davos conference, right, it's not just that, right? There are many other people that participated. So think people like Circle, Global Blockchain Business Council, Casper Labs, Ripple, you know, and all that. Ripple, you can even say that Ripple is like a bank crypto kind of thing, right? But anyway, yeah. So there's a lot of all these companies, they still send their representative there. And really at the World Economic Forum, it's a bunch of atas people coming together to talk about what's the future, right? So they are setting the future and negotiating the future, you know, in the higher ups of the global society, lah.
Yeah, so the all these crypto companies that you cited, I mean, they're basically there to lobby the TradFi institutions, yes. You know, selling it as, you know, we can reform, we can be molded, and
we can reform.
I mean, they know that TradFi wants to engage with this space, but yeah, I mean, they want some guardrails, lah.
So, are there any concrete guardrails that they are discussing?
The forum is still ongoing, so I haven't read like the latest reports. I think it goes on for the rest of the week. But you know, like in past years, it was things like CBDCs. You know, right now, big thing, of course, is regulation. I mean, FTX has been dominating the discussions, crypto-related discussions.
I think that the thing about this is like, the ball is really in the SEC's court right now. Like, you know, I think that they really need to kind of like, I mean, the first thing that really needs to happen is, you know, just a general classification, whether tokens are securities or not. And I think that is one of the things that is currently outstanding. And like, once we get some clarity of that, then you would have the effective guardrails.
Okay. But for clarity's sake, SEC is really just the US side of things, right?
It's just the US side, that's correct.
The other guys got nothing to say, man. Like the Bank of England, or, you know, I don't know, like the ECB or like China, they have not put out any thoughts around this.
Well, relating to Davos, I'm not too sure. Yeah, but
I mean, I know China went on to talk about like welcoming investors back to China.
Blah, I mean, we all know China's stance on like blockchain, lah. You know, so their stance is very clear. You know, it is going to be centralized government controlled innovation, and like, you know, so this is where the whole CBDC conversation actually was.
So they will love CBDC, yeah,
they
right?
Will love, they will embrace it. Digital yuan, man.
The digital yuan is a very strong, and they have that direct access to their people already, right? They have that kind of digital infrastructure in place in the country. When I was living there, I didn't need to bring my wallet. It's just a phone.
Yep.
You know, yeah. But then and I had to bring charger, lah. So I still bring two things, right? problems. First world problems.
I mean, with regards to the EU, I mean, I think there have been ongoing talks about, you know, crypto regulation and pushing for an EU-wide crypto strategy. But, you know, if I'm not mistaken, you know, these things, like the regulation that they've been discussing, which has been postponed, I think the vote has been postponed. It covers things like money laundering, consumer protection, accountability of crypto companies and environmental impact. So the crux of the matter, like, you know, that the SEC is trying to deal with, that, you know, is crypto a security or not?
I don't know how you guys feel about this, but isn't there like some irony in the fact that you have these crypto companies, right, that are essentially, that have at some point, or maybe are still are touting, you know, like the ideal of like decentralization, and but, you know, and some, they still have to kind of like lobby the powers that be, you know, to allow them to operate. So, like, you know, this is where, like, I find that, like, you know, it's quite interesting.
I mean, long ago, I already doubted this thing, right? I really think it's weird, right? And then my team, about 2 years ago, we really started observing, like, correlation between Bitcoin and the crypto and the stock market.
So when there's
correlation there, then you know, you remember already, when, right, like, who Bitcoin is in the game, right? Yeah, exactly. If you got inflation hedge.
How did that work out?
Right. Or digital gold or whatever, right? But I think that's a different discussion altogether, right? I think the whole idea here is that, yeah, the reality is there are dominant powers in the game. And yeah, if you want to play this game, then you got to play by the rules of the SEC.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
How do you guys feel about CBDCs?
Honestly, I think it is a great technology for the government, you know, to manage money and to kind of push out. Because, I mean, I contextualize it to Singapore, in the sense that sometimes, you know, there was a period of time where you receive checks or like vouchers. And then it's like, oh my goodness, these vouchers, right, they are there. But, you know, it's like, what are the requirements? And all that. As someone that is managing, it will be very hard, right? But for the end user, it may also be a little bit more complex because there are multiple things. But if you have things like the CBDC, you can pretty much just like set expiry dates, you can set all these different things. So from a centrally managed viewpoint, right, it is good, right? You know, from the government's perspective. But of course, on the individual, when these things get more and more digital, there's digital footprint, you can track, you can do all that. And very hard for you to tax optimize, I never say any other thing. It's tax optimization. My lawyer say can use this word. Okay, so it's a so yeah.
I mean, that is like vouchers and all that, but you know, when it goes to something like e-money, you know, that's what it's supposed to be.
Yeah. So in other words, you don't need the vouchers anymore because you can use the e-money as a proxy for that already, right? Because they created vouchers as proxy for money because there was a certain parameter that they needed to set around it. But now you don't even need that, right? You can just dish out the e-money and then you can create some sort of a secondary, like an e-money prime, right? Singapore dollar prime, you know, and then you just complete with certain parameters that are preset into the system.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I'm not that hot on CBDC just because of you know, the implications it brings to personal freedom. And
of course, I get it. I totally get it.
Yeah, no, I mean, it goes against the whole ethos, right? Of like,
of course, yes, I totally get it. Yeah.
Yeah,
of crypto. So drug dealers will have to go back to using paper money. Unfortunately,
well, Bitcoin lah. So yeah, Bitcoin, man. Bitcoin or bust, man. Like that is why it's still the blue chip, right? Yeah, but I think this is like, you know, like one of those. I mean, I actually don't have a view on this. Surprisingly, I'm quite neutral. I can see both sides. I think that the other thing that is interesting here is that if you have state adoption of like blockchain, right? I think that maybe one upside here is that they would generally also be more open to embracing further innovation in this space.
The idea here is, if you think of it, I draw a parallel on this, right? It's with the public healthcare system and the insurance coverage, right? It's like, if you don't have a public healthcare system, or you don't even have a healthcare system, you cannot sell insurance on top of it, right? So the product is built on something else.
That is a great analogy, right?
So if you have like a CBDC that runs around, right?
Yeah.
You can essentially build products on top of it that potentially can be decentralized, but then must be regulated by the government, right? Because you're building on their platform.
Yeah,
right?
Because you know, if it's CBDC, it's going to be pegged to the country's dollar anyway.
Yeah, and the trilogy of strength pretty much with the US today is really the dollar and the weapons, right? And the politically correct positions, right? What we call the moral grounds, right? And then, yeah. Right, we don't go there, control yourself. Okay, so I control myself also, yes. So pretty much that's the trilogy of power, right? So if you think about it, unless the crypto guys are going to start building up military bases, right? If there's anything, the government can still come in and potentially really just smash it, right?
So here's the kicker, right? Like, you know, the people like in these communities as well, like, you know, in the crypto community, they're human beings, man. And like, you know, they make imperfect decisions and they're also like, you know, like bad actors in there. You know, so I think at the end of the day, like, you know, like... it's just going from one form of like control to another, you know. I guess that is also a good segue into the next story.
Love it. Finally, you're learning to segue. I love it. Love it. Yes, Mark, right? Come bring us. Huh? bring us, yes.
Well, so like, you know, since, so just moving on to the next story that we have today.
It was a beautiful segue, and then you're like paise, and then you cannot segue.
Yeah, because you called it out. So now, okay. Like, you know, like the flow is completely gone.
Okay, great. Give you five star. Cut that part out. Yes, please continue.
Yeah, so we have been taking a look at DAOs. You know, I think that this is one of the poster childs of like, you know, like the past couple of years, right? And we've seen it like, you know, like we've seen DAOs rise and fall. And the question we're asking right now is that, you know, like what's going to happen in 2023, right? Will we see a reemergence of DAOs? So, I mean, like just the, and this is a non-consensus view, of course, we have observed there are a lot of inefficiencies, right, with how DAOs operate. And, you know, there are some questions as to how, like, you know, a truly democratic way of operating a business, right, or like an organization, right, can really function in real life.
Actually, maybe you should step back and just explain what a DAO is and how it works in theory.
Right. So, you know, essentially a DAO is like an organization with, the easiest way to talk about this is that, like, you know, it's an organization with no boss, no manager, everyone's an owner, and everyone has like, you know, like voting rights. So an example of this is that, like, you know, like in a DAO, if you wanted to increase or change the compensation of the people who are kind of like, you know, like involved in a DAO, it would be a community initiative and everyone would have like, you know, like a vote.
Right. So DAOs issue governance tokens.
Governance tokens, yeah. Yes.
To their users or other stakeholders. And then these tokens have, you know, correspond to a set amount of voting power within this organization. And these tokens also have a price for which it can be traded on the secondary market.
So good examples of this would be, you know, the UNI token, right? And then that gives you voting rights on the exchange.
Well, that's like a market in a market, one marketceptions, yeah.
Like yeah, but one of the big issues is that, you know, I think there have been many reports on this that look at the major DAOs. A minority of holders have, you know, a vast majority of voting power.
I mean, exactly, right? It's the same with the staking, the proof of stake issue, right? Once you allow the DAOs to float in the market such that they can be exchanged, capital comes in and soak it up, right? But please continue, sorry.
No. So, that is something that needs to be addressed for it to actually be more equitable. I mean, right now, yes, it's equitable based on how much money you have in this organization or whatever corresponding to the number of governance tokens.
Yep. So I guess, you know, like a couple of questions that, you know, we've been kind of mooting, right? You know, should decentralized applications adopt something more of like, you know, a progressive decentralization, right? Where like, you don't decentralize completely from the start and then like, you know, like important decisions are just really kind of like centrally managed and decided, you know, by a select few.
By a tripartite organization.
Yes.
We're going there.
Right.
Or should they just
you know, embrace it completely? Right. Mm-hmm. I think one of the things here that, like, you know, is that the truth of the matter is that not everybody should be making decisions now.
Wow, that's a snob there. Very arrogant.
It is not like, and no, it's not that. It's like, you know, I also know that, like, I mean, you wouldn't expect someone like me to be, you know, like making technical decisions that, like, you know, like are like, you know, beyond the realm of my expertise.
Fair, I agree. You know? Yeah.
Yeah, and I know that. You know, it is not like the fact that I'm thinking of like that I have low self esteem or high self esteem or like I'm a dick or whatever, you know, it's just the facts.
Well, there's a lot of like Freudian sleep there. It's like all coming out.
Right? Yeah.
But I do agree. Yeah. I do agree. Which is why I struggle with this, right? Like structurally, when people create DAOs, or at least in the crypto space, talk about decentralization, and DAO is like the governance idea, right? One person, one token. You know, or at least that's how it starts. Like eventually, token floats, money comes involved, and then you get centralization problems. I mean, and that's a recurring thing in my head. It's like, do I really want everybody to vote on something? You know, how will it look like? And what is my incentive structure at play? Right. So this becomes a very complicated question if you are trying to like
Push it is massively complicated.
Yeah, and that's like the endless problem in my head. Like when I think of this whole crypto decentralized, centralized, some people come in to centralize it, but then you want to decentralize, it's like, 你要什么, right? Like, what do you want, right? So messy.
Okay, but I have to say that I think that, you know, the conversation should also move towards like, depending on like the industry and you know, like what the DAO, you know, like why the DAO, you know, exists, right? I mean, certain areas are just, you know, like easier to kind of administer. So for example, like, you know, if it's something that's a bit more social focused, right? Like Friends with Benefits, you know?
Well,
like,
I love how Friends with Benefits is your first social focus.
I mean,
example.
I'm giving extreme examples here, like, because, okay, you know, compared to say like a Uniswap or like...
Well,
you know,
I feel
like
very off brand. I'm very scared.
What?
But please, very off brand, but please continue. Sponsors, start it yourself. Yes, please continue.
It's clear, right, that Friends with Benefits is a DAO.
Yeah, it's a DAO.
You guys, yeah. Okay, so for all those who are not in the know, like, okay, Friends with Benefits is like one of the larger, I would say like it's a social focus kind of like DAO where like, you know, like people can network and, you know, collaborate on projects. That's what they mean by like Friends with Benefits. Like, it's not supposed to be like a hookup or dating kind of like decentralized application. But I mean, like, you know, like people end up hooking up or dating, and that's, you know, a plus point, right?
Noting
that like the majority of like, you know, like people in the blockchain and crypto is still male dominated, unfortunately. You know, so maybe the gender ratios are not there. Yeah. So that is the rundown with the general idea behind Friends with Benefits. And then you have to get the FWB token to kind of like, you know, like vote and then like, you know, like have a say in how like the platform is administered. So the point I was trying to make here is that like in a DAO like this, you know, the decisions that you would be making are probably a bit more general, you know? Like it is, I will be more comfortable making decisions in something like this, like, you know, versus say like a decentralized exchange where I would have no idea how to kind of like, you know, like administer like, you know, an exchange. You know, that is like, you know, a very broad example. Obviously, like, you know, like definitely can get the more detail, but like just using these examples to kind of like make the point that like I think that it also depends on the area or industry, you know, or like the problem that the DAO is trying to solve.
Yeah, and I think this is a great tangent to really talk a little bit about like how actually a lot of technology in crypto, right, it's not very technology, right? It's not very difficult, right? A lot of these like tech is like, is there. There are a lot of templates that you can use, right? But the difficulty lies in the incentive structures that are at play. You know, how do you set it up? How do you think about it? How do you foresee how these incentive structures will create certain things, right?
So like, you know, yeah, exactly. The incentive structure is actually really important here.
Yeah, that's a complex one because that's like social structures, talking about like understanding the human and hypothesizing how things will play out, right? Those things are very complicated. But yeah.
I think that like, you know, like DAOs have, there is a huge case to be made for them in the area of like nonprofit. You know, you can galvanize support for a cause, right? So like, you know, like for example, in the case of like, I think there was one, I think it was called the Ukraine DAO, if I'm not wrong. So it was a fundraising DAO really set up to collect and distribute donations to assist like, you know, like those affected by the war, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, a bit gimmicky, yeah.
It's a bit gimmicky, but they did, I think they auctioned off an NFT image of the Ukraine flag, you know, I think it's like a good few million, you know.
They want my logo on my face.
I mean,
I can auction off my face and my logo.
Right. No, right. But as in, what I'm saying here is that because, you know, it's not driven by profit in this sense. So, you know, then maybe that is also an area, you know, that complicates things, right? Yeah. So when it's really non-profit and like, you know, like there is a cause that you're looking to kind of like galvanize a community around, then this is one area where like I think that the agendas are more aligned.
It's interesting. I'm just saying, I think war is all for profit. It's just how to profit. Right, it's just so that's a different discussion. That's a different discussion. But I understand what you're saying.
You're the one that's going to segue, not me.
No. But I understand what you're saying. Yes, I agree. So you know what's the best case forward? The best case forward is we own self set up a DAO and then kind of pilot and test it out and see how it works. Right? And then we'll learn about it over time. Right, we can always set up a DAO that just gets our audience to direct us as to what content should we create. Right, and I think that's such a low hanging fruit.
It just feels like so much work, like setting up a DAO. Imagine, you're effectively kind of like running a political party,
I agree, I understand that, It's so tiring, I totally get it, If not, I would have died long ago, but now I think you guys can. So, we chill you, man.
I don't know, man.
So, we talk about it again.
I feel very tired just thinking about it.
Just thinking about it. Cool.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Nice, but those are three really good stories, right? In closing, anybody has any other things you want to add for this week? I mean, it's quite an eventful week in that sense, and eventful not like same event keep churning downwards, but yeah, there's some disparate views out there.
I mean, I'm obviously feeling optimistic about looking at all the...
No, bro, but every week also you say you're optimistic one.
No, just seeing the sea of green on my...
Okay. That's optimist, yes.
But it does seem like, crypto is down, but it's not out. So we see like...
Dead cat bounce.
No, but at Davos, and all these other things. I mean, it does appear that innovation is chugging along. So
it's true.
2023 is off to a good start.
Yeah, that's good. Nice. Mark, anything?
No, I think that was green colors in your trading account. That's it.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so Coconuts, thank you for tuning in with us every week. Down the road, if we set a Reddit, we'll let you know. Meanwhile, if you have any questions, drop us on Telegram group and check out all the latest articles on blockhead.co. Okay, take care. Great. Bye, guys. Hey Coconuts, so yes, I hope you enjoy this new show that we're building together with the team at Blockhead. And the goal is very clear, right? We're not here to shield any token or be a cheerleader for any project, but we feel that there's a lot of development that's going on in this space that we could cover and continue to be a little bit smarter as investors. I mean, eventually you tune in every week to a financial podcast network so that you can be smarter with your investments. And if it so happens this is something that you're looking at, the crypto space, Web3, Metaverse, all these kind of stuff, then that is where we're trying to cover, but not from the angle of like this is good, that is bad, but really trying to see it from like what is happening, how is it developing. And I hope you find this useful and interesting, right? So if you want to continue to get more coverage around the crypto space, check out blockhead.co, and then we will see you next week.